What is our vision of God? How have we walked in here today? Are we questioning God? Some folk are scared to ask God questions. I don't know what you've gone through this week. I don't know what you've gone through in your life. You can see I'm not a young man. And I've been through quite a few things, like most of you. And that influences what we think about God. One of my favourite psalms is this one I'm now going to read. I think it gives us a picture of an awesome God. But there is a challenge in verse 10 to all of us. I think you'll all know the psalm. It's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earths melt. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's just pause for a moment. Father, we thank you this morning for this awesome picture of yourself and of what you can do that you've left with us in this psalm. We thank you for it. Lord, you know at the moment we're in a funny old world. We've just talked already this morning about being after COVID. But we know, Lord God, there are people in our country who are still getting it. There are people in the world still getting it. And there are people maybe even in this town who actually have got long COVID. And people's worlds have been turned upside down. We know about unrest in places like Afghanistan, and we know about obviously Ukraine, and Lord, there's so many places in our world, and it brings us comfort and encouragement that we can come to you, a sovereign God who's ultimately in control. We pray, Lord God, that whatever circumstances that we have faced this week, we just ask, Father God, that we might focus our vision on you as we've just been challenged. And this might bring us peace and calm. We may not have all the answers to our questions. We may not have all the solutions to our challenges yet. But Lord, we thank you that by knowing you, we can know strength and encouragement and peace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second hymn is a joyful one, and I hope I get this right. After this, there'll be some music played and the offering will be taken. All right, thank you. This is Teach Me to Dance, which many schools I think still use. Thank you. Thank you, Sheila. If we're really honest, we don't have to think too long before we can remember, even today, how you've blessed us. And even though this country is going through some difficult times, Lord, we have so much to thank you for. Heavenly Father, we just pray that as these offerings have been taken up as an expression of our thanks and love to you, we ask that those who administer how it should be used will be given your wisdom. And ultimately these gifts will be used to glorify your name in this area. Because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Almighty God, as you called your disciples, so you call us to follow you. You call us not only to repentance and lifestyle changes, but call us to love others as ourselves. You call us to care and share so that we pray for all those who need us and need your touch today. We pray for Nigel and his team at Crops and their work they do with the children and young people. You have called them to care and share their faith to help them deal with all the day-to-day issues that worry these young people. We also ask for your loving guidance in those in our circuit who are going forward in training for worship leaders and lay preaching. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. For the ongoing war in Ukraine, for those living in fear, whose whole lives have been turned around, upended and damaged, for those left rootless and homeless, and those that grieve the death of family and friends, for those who are at the front line of fighting and preservation of what is left, for those caring for the injured and the frail, especially those in the firing line. For those Russian citizens who live with uncertainty and don't see the real happenings with their neighbours. For those families whose men have been forced to fight with little or no training or understanding of what is really going on. For those who have had no contact with their men since they were forced into war. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. For those in California whose lives have been turned round by the storm after storm after storm, who are dealing with flood, landslides, sinkholes, loss of nature and homes and infrastructure, loss of employment and loss of life and livelihood. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. For those caught up in the Nepal air disaster, those killed, bereaved, injured and left grieving. Those rescuers and cleaner uppers and investigators who deal with the aftermath of the crash. Those who seek answers to what happened and decide if changes need to be made to prevent further accidents. For those around the world who live with injustice, unfairness, discrimination, who live within moral or immoral societies. For those who simply live with their situation from day to day, and those who decide to stand up for what they see to be wrong in their societies, no matter what brutal regimes may do them. for those who try to get others to turn around and live more just and caring lives. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. For those in our own country who are striving to hold on to their standards of living, but struggle from day to day with increasing inflation, where what money they have buys less and less. Those who have to daily choose between heating and eating. For those whose physical and mental health is impacted severely by the impact of such things. For those who feel they have no choice but to withdraw their services and stand on picket lines, seeking governments to turn around and support them more through increased pay deals and improved working conditions. And for those on all sides involved in such difficult dilemmas. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. While we deal with floods, wind, snow and ice, countries like Somalia have had a second year with a drought and virtually no harvest. Climate change in action. May the world see that we need an about turn to prevent further climate catastrophe. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. For those we know and love, our family, friends and neighbours who are in need this day, in the quietness of our hearts, in this moment, we recall their names to mind. May our love and your touch, O God, be there for them every day. Almighty God, in following you, our hearts are pained as we see the struggles, pains and dilemmas of the world and its people. Touch our lives, touch our hearts, deepen our love and hear our prayers in the name of Christ who called us to follow you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Lynn. We're now going to have one of our readings, and Ray is going to come and do that for us, and it's the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Very well-known words, but I hope they bring comfort to you.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 25. To 30. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen.
Thank you very much, Ray. Perhaps an apt song to sing after that is Beauty for Brokenness. I'm just saying this to the PowerPoint folk, okay? I am very grateful for this opportunity to come out and chat. And I've given some people an old newsletter that will give you some idea of what we're up to for part of last year. We're actually producing a new one at the moment, but these things cost money. And if I didn't give you one, please don't go out on in a strop. Not that you would, because you're good people, obviously, but there are a few more left on the chair at the back by the font there, okay? So please help yourself. And I'll probably refer to those again. I'm going to stay for coffee. And so if you do have any questions, please come and ask me afterwards, okay? If there's time now, I might pause just to forward you and say, are there any questions? But we'll see how we go. Crops, I didn't dream up the name. I don't know who did, but they're playing on Christian resources, Christian options in Peterborough schools. It used to have a longer title than that, but we've tried to abbreviate it. And as I said to you, that Crops actually was dreamt up by a guy called Richard Morrison. I knew Richard. I was with a thing called CYM in Ipswich at the time. And he got to see what happened in Ipswich when churches came together, particularly church leaders, and to give a service, particularly in schools.
Richard Morrison did take a
about
20 years ago.
20 years, yeah, because he's moved around since France, Scotland, and now he's out at Leicester. That's good to know that. That's good. Thank you very much. So you know Richard. Next slide, please. So I'm just waiting for the next slide. It's okay. Okay, I'll carry on talking and hope that they can catch up with me. Crops, I've put two words up there really about crops, and it's encouragement and education. Because when you look at what Crops is doing and everything, they actually are doing a service both in schools and outside of schools. And in schools, obviously, you can't go into schools and preach. If you're a school teacher or in education, you know that's right and proper. But you can go in and give a Christian point of view. And also you can go in and help serve young people. And we'll see about that when we talk about mentoring. So you're doing education and encouragement in schools. And if you're young people, if you've got any grandchildren or children, come to a thing called Letton Hall. or they come to an event called Together, then actually they get encouragement and education. Obviously, there it's how to grow as a Christian and how to develop as a Christian. And we all need that, whatever our age, don't we? So those are the two themes I think run through the whole ministry of Crofts. Next slide, please. Thank you. I can't talk about every aspect of what goes on in school because we'll be here a long time. But to give you a flavour, it's tremendous that every summer term in the primary schools, and the leadership of a lady called Rachel Jessop, who's been doing this for about 25 years for Crofts, I might say, without being paid, that actually one thing that she does, and Matt, our director, goes in with her as well, is they do a thing called It's Your Move. And actually, you might know that from a book from Scripture Union. And it's a book that's designed, and of course, to help young people, children, move from primary school to secondary school. And last year, in summer term, 17 schools in our area had that. Next slide, please. Rachel, also in primary, actually used a thing called Walk Through the Bible. Now, if I stop and explain that, I'll just keep taking it. But it's a fun way. There's an adult version of this. I've done some of it. And it's teaching you to memorize the stories of the Bible with actions and things like that. And it's really fun. And children love it. And Rachel now spends most of her time using that in primary schools. Next slide, please. And if you can read that, you'll read things like this. This is what one class, year five, primary school child actually said. If you read it, I'll read it out in case you can't see it too well. I enjoyed it ever so much. I can't wait to do it again. I did not know much about the Bible, and now I bet I know nearly everything. Whoa! See, one lesson with Rachel Jessop, and your child will know everything about the Bible. Whoa! That's terrific, and what a miracle. I am never going to forget it. My certificate is standing in our cupboard, and my sister can't wait until she gets to do it when she's in class five. And at St. Michael's School, it isn't too far away from Whittlesey. Just recently, after the story of the flood, a student said, "Does this mean that every time I see a rainbow, God is speaking to me?" Notice the spirituality of a year five youngster. Isn't that incredible? That even that made them think, is God speaking to me? And Rachel put, when she put this comment into us, that after that was when you saw these rainbows over Buckingham Palace, Windsor Castle and Balmoral. Wonder what that, I think it was a little boy thought then. Isn't that incredible? And then after a New Testament lesson, someone went up to Rachel and said, "Is there something you do to become a Christian?" And actually Rachel had 10 seconds to answer that before the next lesson. But you see, what I'm trying to say is that not in a preachy way, but just teaching the Bible in a fun, educational way, that made youngsters ask those spiritual questions. Isn't that incredible? I think that's incredible. On the secondary side, actually, next slide, sorry. And next slide, thank you. Oh yeah, that last slide. Rachel does, if you're in children's work, she does have twice a year, or sometimes three times a year, an evening with people come from different churches just to encourage you if you're serving children. Not youth, but children. If you are interested in that, see me afterwards. I'll make sure you get the details, all right? And there is somebody who comes from Whittlesey, I'm pretty sure of that. So you could get a lift as well. The next slide, please. Thank you. In this secondary side, lots of things happen. There are a few lunchtime clubs. There's input into RE lessons with a thing called Breathe. There's assemblies. There's still some schools in Peterborough area that have assemblies. And Matt, our director, goes in, either if we've got trainees with us, and takes assemblies. And actually, I live in Orton Longville. Don't hold that against me. But actually, I go into the local school, and that local school, Neame Park Academy, regularly has every term Matt to come and do a week of assemblies. So still schools do that. But one thing that we use a great deal is a thing called Jesus Live. This has been going around now for about 25 years. Used to be a massive trailer, mobile classroom. It's now been adapted to have a server that you pull up outside the school, and children have the equivalent iPads, can log into it as an interactive program, basically giving through music and drama and the red word, teaching on the Jesus teaching on subjects like rejection, forgiveness and fear. And it uses young people stories, and it's all through interactive pictures and videos on the iPads, and schools love it. And now that it's gone down to the, if you like, the more compact version, it means that more people in the country can have it more often. And what Matt is doing is trying to get it every term, or, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks instead of having to have it for a whole 6 weeks. And it can be easily taken into a classroom. It's incredible. Again, questions get asked, and these are two of the questions that came out from one of the Hampton, well, I think this is Hampton Gardens in December. And this is what one student said: "This is probably the best RE lesson I've done." If you're an RE teacher, please don't go away and get depressed, all right? "It was really engaging and videos were very helpful. The best thing about it was how inspirational it is." Another student said, "I feel I have more faith in God. I genuinely feel, I'm not sure, like more awakened, and I can't quite explain it." Again, lessons have actually helped youngsters think spiritually. Next slide, please. And mentoring. This is incredible. As a trustee, we took a step of faith, must be nearly 7 years ago now, to decide to take on an extra worker. We didn't have the money. Some of you sit there and say, "What idiots." But actually, we felt, sorry, I hope I haven't offended you by saying that. You probably haven't. You probably said, "Praise the Lord." But seriously, we felt before God, we didn't do a quick decision. We prayed about it, and we felt we should take a step of faith. And we employed Chris to head up the mentoring. And why? Because schools kept coming to people like Matt after lessons and saying, "Can you talk to this youngster? Can you this?" And or actually asking Crops, "Do you have anybody who can come and listen to students in school? We've got school counsellors, but we need youngsters who actually just need to talk to somebody, perhaps 5 or 6 weeks. You know, can you do that?" And we felt quite challenged about that. And we took on Chris, and now over 6 years later, we are actually we're actually mentoring in 15 secondary schools. We got into all of Peterborough schools pre-COVID. During COVID, that went like that. And then after COVID, it had to pick up again. I think it's incredible. At the moment, we've got 21 mentors. And we're getting 3 more trained at the moment. And last year, we had 2,200 sessions, face-to-face sessions, with students. Churches talk about mission and vision. Yes, we can't talk Christianity, but let me just say, as a mentor, that if youngsters come and ask you questions in their discussion about anxiety or self-harming or mum and dad or their anger or whatever the subject is, that sometimes they will ask you questions about where you're at, and you're allowed to talk about it. But I personally think, as a Christian, it's like giving a cup of water. Have you heard that somewhere in the Bible? It's like giving someone a coat. Have you heard that in the Bible? Like you're doing it for Jesus. I think it's re-serving young people. And I'm not being naughty, but the young people are not in here. And I don't know what it would take for you to get
100 young people in here. As a youth worker and done lots of events, it would take a lot of money. And yet, as a mentor, you can walk across the road into a school and serve under Christian Charity's name. You can serve local young people. You can have contact. If that isn't vision and mission, I don't know what is. And if I say I'm passionate, I do not apologise. Because we keep trying with events to get people to come into churches. They're out there. And the Saviour I follow actually went out. Yes, he attracted people, but he was milling around. He was walking. And actually, it was harder for him than it is for me. I've got a car just parked there. Jesus went out to people. And I personally think that's a big lesson that churches need to look at. At the local level, you'll see there, I've put that in especially for you, that since the beginning of last year, we have been going into Harry Smith School. One mentor started in January, another one started in April. And they see 5 students a week, and in that time they've had 150 mentoring sessions. So there are 2 Christians in this town who actually have had contact 150 times with young people. I don't know how many young people, with 5 students a week, but they've probably had a turnover. That is incredible. And if you're interested to know more about that, I'll come back to that in a moment. I've personally been a mentor for 6 years, and I think it's a tremendous opportunity. Next slide, please. How does mentoring work? We don't just say, oh great, you volunteer, yes, we'll have you. We have to do a proper professional approach. And basically what we do, if you were interested today, I've got application forms at the back, that you'd fill that in, you'd be interviewed, and if it was felt that you were right and you thought it was right, then you would be offered to go into some schools that are wanting more mentors. Although we're at every school, we could actually do more mentors in each school. And if you wanted to Harry Smith, we could see if that could happen. So you could be serving your local school. You're not just in there alone. You've got Chris Wilde, who actually oversees it. He will support you, ring you, email you. You're not just in the school alone either. You'll have a line manager in the school, and you'll fit in with the school's program. So it's not just a maverick thing. You're overseen, you're supported. And twice a year at least, Chris actually organises a day. You don't have to come to it. I go to them, they're tremendous. We have a qualified person who actually runs a day, a day, 9 to 1 on a Saturday, half past 9 to 1 on a Saturday, and gives training on how to deal with things like anxiety. This next one, we're going to look at pre-suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. So you're getting training. Again, you're not left on your own. Everyone in this room could probably become a mentor. Now, you'll now hit me and say, no, I can't, Nigel. Well, let me just unpack that. You've all got life experience. I guarantee over coffee, I'll see that some of you talk a lot. I'll see that some of you listen a lot. If you're a good listener, you make a great mentor. You might say, Nigel, hang on, I'm really old and ancient. I don't know how old you think I am, but I'm old and ancient. All right? Well, I'll tell you, I'm 76. And, you know, my age works for me, working with young people. I was working with young people right until I retired. I didn't retire until I was 66. I was still teaching lessons in schools under a charity in Torbay called Lynx, a Christian set-up, doing RE, PSHE lessons, listening. I used to go in every lunchtime to listen. When I retired, the school employed me just to go back to listen. They didn't see my age as a barrier. Now, you might say, yeah, but Nigel, you were a professional. I'm not that special. I don't have major qualifications. I don't have a degree. I don't have A-levels. I do believe God can use people who are willing. If that sounds naive, I don't apologise, because I believe that's the teaching of the Bible. And so often we put barriers in the way. And if you think I'm going over the top, again, I'm going to be rude, I'm not apologising. Because the anxiety levels amongst young people today are horrendous. They are. I'm not making it up. One school I go into, I spend all day tomorrow in two schools. And I'll end up, if they're all in, seeing eight students. And there's always a waiting list. And one school uses a lot of outside counselling agencies, obviously for the heavier problems and issues that youngsters need to go on, have proper professional, obviously, help. And they can't get enough help. I'm not making this up. When I started in Christian work full time in 1973, it's nothing like it is today. The needs that we're trying to meet with young people. And I don't overemphasize that too much, but please don't write off that you couldn't be a mentor. Obviously not every single, but to be fair, every single one of you in this room probably isn't suited to be a mentor. But a lot of you sitting there thinking that you're not, I believe probably you are. Don't let age hold you back. Don't let inexperience hold you back. Please. If you're a good grandmother or grandfather and your grandchildren love you, isn't that enough to tell you you communicate well with children and youth? Right, next slide. I better carry on. The clock's ticking by. We have events outside. There's a monthly event called Together. There's a flyer on the back of it. Next slide, please. We have events called Letton Hall. There's a flyer on the back about that. But February 1 is full up. So I was told on Friday. Next slide, please. This is our team. We just paid two people, the two handsome looking guys there, the lovely looking ladies do it for free. I don't know what you could say about that, but they are our team. Sheila at the top there gives about 1.5 days a week to help with admin, and Rachel is who I've been talking about, is our primary worker, and you've got Matt and Chris there, one the director, one the head of mentoring. Next slide, please. You are needed. Next slide, please. And I'll go through this very quickly. I haven't got this on my notes and I can't see that too clearly there. I'll come here and just say this. Do you have a heart? Well, we need regular support. We need more mentors. We need some volunteer office administrators. We need people to support the work. On the back of that, and I unashamedly say this, I gave you the newsletter because on the back tells you how you can actually support us. This work will not last in Peterborough unless Peterborough people pray for it, get involved in it, and support it prayerfully and financially as well. And you can visit our website and get more information. Again, ask me, okay, about this. Great, thanks. Next slide. Right, okay. Sorry to put you off your Sunday lunch. When we were booked this time, Langley said, so you can blame your superintendent, that actually, would we give our testimony? So you've got my story here. And I'm going to go very, very quickly, obviously. I'll miss some things out. And that's a picture of me as a baby. And I want to read these verses to you, okay? For you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And basically what that is saying, that God knew every one of us before we were actually here. You might find that very hard to take in. You might want to discuss that theologically. But I just look back and see how God had his hand on my life. Now, please don't be rude, but I shouldn't be here. And ironically, I married someone else who shouldn't be here. because my mum had a stillbirth before me, and child born dead. And after that, the doctor said, no more children. My dad went off to war. He came back, I suppose, in 1945. And somehow or other, I popped out in 1946. You know, I don't know, perhaps you can explain to me how that happened, but now, you know what I'm saying. I shouldn't be here. And I was born by cesarean operation, so that will tell you something else as well. And when I look at those verses, I think, whoa. My mum and dad didn't go to church. Test your history now. They moved, I was born in Chelmsford, but when I was about that big, they moved to a place called Bury St Edmunds. And they moved into a very glamorous home called a prefab. And it was made out of a very good material called asbestos. And the planners in Bury St Edmunds obviously were keen to build homes for those who'd come back from the war and needed homes, etc. But they decided to put York Close in Bury St Edmunds and Queen's Close that backed onto it between two parallel roads, York Road, Queen's Road. And there was a stretch of land that had been orchards, I'm told, with pigs on. And they decided to put these prefabs there. All the local people who owned their private homes were really pleased that 26 prefabs with councillors were actually came in their private roads. You can imagine what it was like growing up around there. I have to say, it was good. But one teenager girl walked across from her private house into York Close, knocked on the 13 prefab doors and invited us all to Sunday school. I was about that big. The York Close mob went to West Road Chapel, as it was then, in Bury St Edmunds, en bloc. But as the years went by and we grew up, it all dropped off. But two of us, a guy called Philip Davey, and myself stuck. I didn't become a Christian. When I got to 16, I was leaving school. I'd got a job lined up in Inland Revenue as a clerical officer. And when I saw the summer break as a time I was going to give up church. And again, someone else had other ideas. I thank God for the leader of the group I went to called Covenanters. It was a Bible study on a Sunday and a youth club on a Wednesday. And I hadn't been going for about 6 weeks. And he came and knocked on the door and asked how I was. And said I'd be welcome to go back any time. But he also invited me to go to a national Covenanter house party that in a place called Moffat in Scotland. And I thought, no way. I was very much in the scouts. I was a patrol leader, all that stuff. I won't bore you. So I like camping. I also like being a patrol leader and actually bossing others around. I actually was quite a quiet and shy lad. People don't believe that, but it's true. People do not believe that. And he got me by saying, well, if you come, you can be a dormitory leader or some, you know, he got me with it. So I went. The joke was on me. Because as I looked around there from little old Bury St Edmunds where he chewed straw, there were lads there from London and Liverpool, and in 1963, if you're as old as me, that was when it was all happening. And I could see lads who actually were as fast as me running, fast as me swimming, had a laugh, but it didn't have to be a dirty joke. They didn't swear. Not that I did, actually. But actually, you know, I could see there was a difference. And they didn't tell me. I could see it. And I'd said before, you can't see God. Where is he? Show me. I respect you Christians. I had some terrific Sunday school teachers. I really did. And that coupled with the fact that about, again, 6 months before, a friend through the group, the Covenanter group, John changed, and he was even quieter than me. He went to school with a white shirt, and he came home with a white shirt. You know the sort? Tie not out of place, perfect. And John's still a friend, by the way. And we went up to him one Sunday when we'd gone to this group, and we said, "You've been different, John." And he went red. He said, "Well, I've become a Christian." Then we went red, because we didn't expect that answer. Don't know why, a bit thick. But that, coupled with the fact that I'd seen the change in John, and I could see the difference in some of these lads at this camp, made me realise God was real. I had a real issue in my life. It was called anger, temper. I wasn't loud and noisy. I wasn't a fighter at school. But at junior school one day, I went for a boy to hit him because he made me lose my cool. Missed him. He got out of the way. I hit the brick wall of the school. I took all the skin off here. I was actually taken, and I got into trouble in school. Another time in York Close, the older boys decided it was my time to be duffed up. And I went mental. I really went mental. And although they were older than me, they ran away from me. I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't a hard nut. But they knew what I was like when I lost my rag, when I got angry. To my shame, when I was about 16, I've had my mother in tears because I was sharp with words. And I lost my cool, and I made her cry. I am ashamed of that. And at 17, as I was then up in Scotland, I was thinking, I want to be different. And one day, no one knew about it, I went out the back. I was by the swimming pool. It was early in the morning. No one was around. I probably shouldn't have been there. And I just looked out to the hills of that part of Scotland. And I said, "God, if you're real, come on my life and change me." And of course, you know what happened. An angel came from a cloud, flew from the cloud, came over, touched me on the head. That's why I'm a slap head. And actually, you know, no. That didn't happen. But I tell you what did happen. I had an overwhelming sense of peace. When I got back to the prefab in Bury St Edmunds that we were still living in, that we were only meant to be in for 5 years, this was then 17, it seemed different. About 6 weeks went by, and I realised I hadn't lost my cool. Now, you don't know me. If there's any sceptics here, you're meant to say this, but I could bring Mary Taylor here, and Ray were like this, who is a fen tiger, who was brought up in Iceland, by the way, who wasn't born till her parents were 40 after umpteen miscarriages and stuff. That's why I said she shouldn't be here. And actually, we've been married 53 years. I tell you, if I still had that temper, there's no way I'd be married for 53 years. No way. I'm not perfect. You can tell from the way I speak. I'm passionate and I get enthusiastic, and I think that energy's been channeled that way. That's the truth. You don't know me, you could say, actually, that I'm just making that all up. I'm aware of that thing at the back, the clock. A turning point for me was when I was 19. And I made a few hiccups as a Christian. And I just felt, am I going to play at this game at Christianity and live it? But it coincided with reading a book called Shadow of the Almighty by a guy called Jim Elliot. Again, if you're my era, you might know of those missionaries who were killed in Ecuador. And Jim Elliot wrote in that book, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he also mentioned another place where a lot of Christians, when they talk about having a call of God on their life, they're looking for an angel to land on the end of the bed to talk to them. He said, when all that, now this is he's an American guy, and he said, all they need is a kick up in the pants. He meant trousers. And when I was 19, I really got down on my knees one day and said, "God, this is my life, use it how you want." I'd like to say more as this. I never had any intention whatsoever to go into Christian ministry. No way. Let me tell you why. I wasn't good enough. I didn't come from a right Christian background. I saw all the obstacles. I hadn't even thought about it. But when I got to 20 and 21, I obviously wanted my life to work for God. I was involved in stuff. I was running a junior covenant group. I won't bore you. But I actually was proud about these things. I had people around me who were, you know, that was how, you know, how's God going to use your life? And I looked at the church I was in, and I thought, to be of any use in this church, to be a leader, not that I had aspirations to become a big leader or anything like that. I just thought you had to be old. Now, notice what I thought at that age. I thought you had to be about 46, all right? And you had to come from a Christian background, family and all that. I didn't have that. But it drove me. I was then a trainee. Well, I wasn't just a trainee. I was being used as a road haulage manager. I managed in Felixstowe. I managed in London. I had a good boss who pushed me at age 20 to develop me. That's how it helped me to come out of myself. But I felt I should go away to Bible college. And I had some opposition to that from both home. And my church leaders told me to wait. So I waited. I obeyed my church leaders. But eventually I went to Bible college. When I was at Bible college, it was there God showed me how he built me. And all I'll say is, in 1973, then married from 1969 to Mary, we felt called to go into evangelistic and pastoral work in Suffolk. That led me to go into a youth project in Ipswich, then a youth project in Torbay, be involved in all sorts of things, not just youth. And I actually count that an incredible privilege. My life verse is this. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. I prefer the RSV version, and it says, and he will act. I am testimony to the fact that if you trust in God, he will jolly well act. I know that from personal experience. Quick reflection. Those verses that Ray read to us. In those verses you see exhaustion. You see emotion. You see ease. And you see encouragement. I don't know how you walked in here this morning. Burden there. I haven't got the time. It's probably referring to the burden the Pharisees put on people by saying, keep to these rules that had nothing to do with God. And people get exhausted. And you can get exhausted as a Christian. Is that what God wants you to do? We're doing the right things. We can be exhausted because of what hits you. I just say this. Because sometimes people think everything works out fine. My son took his life at age 31. Someone, my wife and I, were dedicated to youth work. And our son takes his life at age 31. I'm only saying that because if you sit there thinking, it's all right for you, chum, you don't know what I've been through. I've had a major heart operation. I'm only saying that because I know what it's like to be burdened. I know what it is to come to Jesus. And the word emotion there is gentle and lonely. It talks about the emotions of Jesus. We follow a Saviour with feelings. I know what it's like to have peace when you're lying on a trolley waiting to go in to have a triple bypass. Not because I'm superhuman. Because I believe in a God. This is not theory. It works. He acts. Have I got all the answers to the questions? Do I know why what happened with my son happened? No, I don't. I can give you some logic. I haven't got all the answers. I don't want to come across as a smart aleck. But that gives me encouragement, that verse. and I hope it gives you encouragement. Let's sing our last hymn. Thank you. Can I say, while Sheila's adjusting herself and getting ready, she very kindly picked all these hymns, and for this I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Please be seated.
I close with a word of prayer. Father, I'm sure that every one of us in this room can know something of the peace and calm and ease that you bring into our lives when we actually ask you to enter. But Lord, I just stop and pause. I do not know the people in front of me, obviously. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's really hurting today, who's got a lot of questions that perhaps they'll never get answers to, I pray, Father, that even if they're angry at you, they'd just speak to you and allow you to enter into their lives and help them, to give them the strength and peace that will actually give them the confidence that they can continue to live in hope. We do commit each other to you, Lord. We thank you that we're in the same family. And we pray as we leave this place, we might be aware of your presence with us as a father. We may be aware of the presence of Jesus as a brother. And we may be aware of the power of the Holy Spirit, because we need that power to help us live for you in this world. And we ask this prayer all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for letting me be with you today. I keep repeating this, but if you have got questions, I'll be here for coffee wherever it's served. And feel free to come and chat. And if I've touched on anything personally, I hope you mind me sharing personally, but I want you to realise that this guy here isn't just a professional talking out of the Bible with a slick sermon. It's experience and tough times and lots of laughs, I might add. I just wanted you to see it was real in case some of you are going through a tough time. But thanks for letting me share with you. I appreciate it. Thank you. God bless.